The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is July 16th, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong, DocsPrefer.com, www.DocsPrefer.com. Dr. Wong is a regular on the show every month. Boy, does he bring a kick-in-the-face perspective to everything. He's a great guy. I've known him for about 15 years. I've had a lot of shoulder stuff. Everybody knows that, and I'm trying to tell people what I take because I think it's real important. You know, a lot of people don't want to talk about injury, but that's a fact of everything we do. So he's sponsoring me for Iceland, and he's sending me tons of stuff to get rid of this. And I got to tell you, I'm feeling really good the last three workouts. We'll find out tonight because I've got to be able to put my arm behind me to squat. I'm not doing the safety squat. I want to get back to the Buffalo totally, and we'll see what happens. So go out to www.docsprefer.com. Secondly, we have Hearts Collision here. This is only for New York residents. Alex and Lori Verardi, great friends of mine. They might not be the biggest, but they're the best. And I got their son here who I'm training, who's 14. If you want, go out and look at Fiorello Barbell Co. He's up on video. He did his first 200-pound deadlift with a trap bar. Strong too. And now he's telling me he might want to go in a strongman contest next year. So I'm very happy to get a hold of him. 518-477-7937. Or go out to heartscollision.com. This is all part of manliness. His father's a big guy. He's been cracking sledgehammers since he's been like 10 years old, welding. I love all that stuff. We're glad to have him aboard. Next, we have another sponsor, Sorenex. Richard and Bert, as you know, Bert's on every month. His father was just on recently. What a show we did, man. Holy cow. This guy is so good. And they sponsor me with a brand new diamond bar, which I've been looking for something real oversized to pull with in the power rack. You can load this thing to a grand or more and pull from any hole you want to pull, and you can press with it too. I thank them for that. They've been very generous to me and the show. And to get a hold of them, Sorenex.com, or call them at 803-978-2253, extension 111. Tell them Eric sent you. Next, we have an ebook that I just put out. It's called The Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Nothing fancy, no glossy pictures, no girls oiled up, nothing like that. You just want to go out and look at 10 paragraphs, basically, with just content, with just stuff to make you think. Very basic, simplistic. That's how I live now with the business and with training and getting ready to go away and training people, because you know what? Your time is so condensed into so many things. So I think the simpler you make your life, the more rewards out there you're going to reap for both yourself and everybody associated with you. So go out and check that out at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also, check out our new product called the Winner's Circle. That's 12 modules of stuff I've talking about from my beginnings right through to all types of different training to routines I do. You can plug this stuff all over into yourself. And, there's no BS. It's 27 to 32 minutes each module, and nothing's rehearsed. It's just I know the subject I want to talk about, and I'm basically sitting there talking like you and I are across the room from each other. Check it out. I guarantee you, this is going to explode anyways, but we're going to develop this where we're going to bring the million people I'm talking right into the business. This isn't just going to be a one deal thing. We're working on a ton of stuff, but this is how we want to get going, and we're going to make it like that. And then next, obviously, if you'd love to do, we would love to have you aboard. We want people to sponsor the show. We're only asking $300 a month. And here's how it goes. You will be advertised in the beginning and the end, and I'm averaging 7 to 12 podcasts a week. Most people are doing one, all right? So let us get your branding out there, get your message out there, and you can help us too so we can keep growing and bringing you much better products and obviously a much better show because improvement is what I live for. And then, last but not least, we have Chris Bigelow, MonsterDevelopment.com. He's the guy that does all the magic behind the scenes, and he's doing a bunch of stuff now as we get ready for the launch. And we're retooling the main site where we're changing the branding, much more aggressive to reflect how we are right now. And that's the way it is. So 800-687-1609. Well, today we have a good friend of the show. This is his third appearance on the show. And he's been, we've had people that are very big supporters. And, my feeling with strongman and lifting, and I just love all that stuff. And I love talking shop. Today, though, we got Ken Nowicki with us today. This guy is awesome, man. And we talked last time. I'm going to ask him about his diet because he went down to a lighter division in strongman. But he reigns from Scotland. He's been crowned, I'm telling you. He's Scotland's strongest man. Four times in two different federations. And right now he's living in Colorado. And I just talked to him, too. He has graduated from the Massage Therapy Institute of Colorado. And now he's working on the next big piece of the puzzle with that, too. So, Ken, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me again.
Glad to have you. Catch us up a little bit and give a little bio on yourself, and we'll kick right into, we're going to talk today – because of little Al here, a kid that I've got here that just deadlifted 200 pounds two nights ago, we're going to really talk about some strongman with beginnings and stuff like that. Because as I was saying to Ken offline, I know it's not out in the mainstream, so to speak, like, the big CrossFit stuff. But I've been told by people who have been on the show, they feel this show is bringing stuff like that to the mainstream. And I don't like that word mainstream so much, but I do like the idea that guys like Ken and myself and a lot of people that have been in the trenches for a long time that don't have WSM exposure, but Ken's up in that area. Ken knows about that. But what I'm saying is up and coming, people that are waiting to get to that level because that's where he wants to go to too, obviously. If we can bring this and get kids doing it or whoever wants to do it, you can do anything with this stuff. So, Ken, give us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you've been up to, please.
So, since we spoke last time, I successfully dieted down to the middleweight class. So I started my cut after the Arnold. After the Arnold, March 11th, I weighed in at 274. Mm-hmm. And then on June 12th, I weighed in, day before the contest, 231.0. Yep. So it was an experience. It was definitely an experience.
Let me ask you this before we get, before you go on. Because when I had Andrew Carney on recently, okay? Mm-hmm. He's
car backloader.
Right, that whole deal. Now, I mean, I couldn't believe the vascularity in him, number one. He told me, this meet that he just had gone in, he broke every personal record because he said anybody that was coming to him kept asking him, are you losing strength? Are you losing strength? And his reply was, I'm stronger now than I've ever been. Let me ask you this. That's a lot of weight. Now, he didn't drop anywhere near as amount of weight as you did. Was it a big adjustment to your barbells there and the stones and everything, or were you able to, get it back, or did it bother you at all, Ken?
So I sort of started off, I can't remember when we spoke, I can't remember exactly the date we spoke, but
okay.
when we last spoke, I was doing my diet and my training all myself.
Yeah, yes, you were, I remember.
So when I did that, I dropped down from 274 down to around 255.
Okay.
So I was doing that all myself, and my weights were going down. My strength was going down, and it wasn't really, it couldn't be sustained if I was wanting to actually qualify for nationals. There would be no way that if I had another, there was another 6-7 weeks of dieting.
Yep. Yep.
That I had, or maybe more, maybe 8 weeks that I had a diet until the contest at that point, for me, and there was no way that I was going to be able to sustain that sort of weight loss. Because basically, what I was doing was I would get up in the morning at 5:30, I would take a fat burner, and I would have some branched chain aminos, and go to the gym and do fasted cardio for almost an hour.
Then
I would train, and the days I didn't train, I would do cardio twice. Mm-hmm. So I would come home, eat, do my day, and then train at night. The days I wasn't lifting weights, I would do cardio again for another hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I was programming myself was I was like, okay, for me to maintain my strength and maintain as much muscle mass as I can, I have to train. I have to train heavy. I have to train a lot of volume.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was basically underfeeding myself and overworking myself,
and
because of that, I wasn't recovering. I couldn't recover with what I had coming in. So I decided to start working with a coach. Very, very smart guy. This guy out of New Jersey, Connecticut area. Goes to Springfield College. His name's Andrew Triana.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal. That's the only word I have, is unreal. So I initially started working him just diet. And this was this would have been like April, end of April. Last week of April, I was down in Arizona for a work training course. And we were talking that weekend before I went down there. So I started working with him, and he goes, okay, I want you to start upping your carbohydrates a little bit.
Yep.
All that sort of stuff. And I'd said, like, well, I don't really want to do that because I know how I react to carbs. If I up them, then I'm going to just blow up, and I'll maybe get back up to 260. And he basically just said, look, complete reassurance. If you get up to 265, I can get you. And we were talking about not doing the Colorado contest, but doing one later in the year. But because it's local and because of money and stuff, I was like, okay, I want to do Colorado.
So he
says, even if you get to 265, I can get you to contest weight for June 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, stop taking all your fat burners, stop doing all your cardio. Just this week when you're away, literally up your calories a little bit, add some carbs in, eat, and then let's see where we are when you get back.
Yep.
Since then, I've not done any fasted cardio, not taken any fat burner, nothing.
Yep.
And he got me to weight. I woke up on the day of the weigh-ins at 230.8.
Unreal.
And I weighed in 0.4 under the weight limit. And the guy's not even in the state. Unreal is the only word. Like, the guy's a genius.
Well, I'll tell you this. See, there's nothing like real food.
Exactly.
And this is where we've had talks on this show, and I've really changed my thinking with a lot of stuff. If you're gonna try to starve yourself and basically go train at the level you're going, you and I both know there's a chance you could end up killing yourself like that.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, a guy like you especially is not, you know, all right, if you're not a bodybuilder, man, that's the basic. And everybody thinks if you want to lose weight, you got to train like a bodybuilder and fast like one. You know, we know there's other things in the dynamics of what they're doing too, and I'm not getting into that.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole point of the matter is there's nothing that substitutes real food. Real food. That's the bottom line, and obviously you know how to alter your training and do things. So, you know, I bet you didn't find any pain with this either, did you? Yeah, and I mean pain like where, you know, you're not walking around with your stomach going all day.
No,
and,
I mean, so I when Andrew started doing my diet, we actually reduced my meal frequency.
Okay.
So say, and we've sustained that the whole time. So say on a non-training day, I have four meals. And that's it.
Right.
I don't eat ten times a day, you know, including shakes and stuff. Like when I was, I remember when I was prepping for the Arnold 2012, I would get up in the morning, I would have oatmeal and a protein shake, and then 2 hours later, I would start cooking to eat. And every 2 hours, I would cook 2/3 of a pound of beef and a bag of boil in the bag rice sort of thing.
Yep.
Yep, and I was eating easily like 5 of those meals a day. And then when I was working security at night, I would take a gainer. Well, I would take 2 gainer shakes with me to drink during the course of the shift. I'd actually drink a liter of water before I went to bed so that I would wake up in the middle of the night just to eat more.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I feel so much better. I don't feel like bloated all the time. I don't feel like I had to force my meals in.
Yeah.
So, no, my meal frequency went down. My calories came up from what I had them at. And then I had one day where, I was still doing my own program at this point. And my last leg day, I did, when I went up to 405 for max rep on front squat, and then I went into leg press and I hit 800 for 15.
Jesus. So obviously, on that diet, obviously you see that you had some serious strength.
I was still gaining, but the issue was that because I was still programming my own way, I wasn't recovering. So I actually asked Andrew to start doing my programming for me too. Now he's exercise science major, so he's got one more year left of his degree. The way he has me training now, I don't understand why I didn't think of this before. Mm-hmm. Like, I train like an athlete now. I train I train all facets of strength. I train explosiveness. I train, you know, isometric wise. I train for speed, endurance, everything. That every single facet of strength is now in my training, where it wasn't before. And I don't understand why myself. I never clicked in my head that this is the way you should train. Mm-hmm. And especially for being a lightweight athlete, or like a middleweight is what they have it now. That's the way you have to train. You have to be able to train and move as well.
How do you? I mean, do you feel fast as hell at 230?
Oh, dude! Like, I'm actually, my weight's up again after.
Yeah.
So I basically did my contest. Contest was June 3rd.
Yep.
And then we had a couple of days off, and then we got back into training. So like we just did like, you know, a couple of days where I could eat whatever I wanted, and then we started training. Started a diet on the Tuesday. Started Wednesday was training. A couple of sessions. Then I had week one of my new program, but then I went away to the UK for a week for my grandfather's birthday party. And it's sort of like my weight came up a little bit. Him and I have been discussing this today, actually. And what we think is that my metabolism was just leveling out to where we wanted it to be right before I went. And then because I went away and I was maybe not eating as much or eating, like, say, like the days I was sightseeing in London for a few days, I was having like 2 meals a day. Yeah. And then when I was at my grandparents' place or my aunt's place, we were eating a bunch and drinking a bunch, and it's just sort of screwed my metabolism a little bit. So now I'm sitting at about 2:53 in the morning right now.
No shit, man.
But to be fair, it's only 10 pounds because we actually on the Monday before the contest, I weighed 239 and we water cutted me down for the weigh-ins.
Okay.
So weigh-ins on the Friday, I went from 239 on the Monday to 231 Friday morning. I actually went to bed on Friday night at 250 pounds. I gained 19 pounds in a day.
Wow.
And then I competed at 240.
Wow. Well, tell everybody out there how you did, because I know how you
did. Colorado State took first place, so
awesome.
I'm happy enough. I mean, last year I took first in heavyweights, literally dropped 70 pounds between weigh-ins in a year.
Yep.
60 pounds was the contest weight, I guess you would call it.
Yep.
But this year, like, I dropped 1 point the whole day, so it was. Mm. I'm happy enough with it.
Shit, yeah, man. I mean, you know, most people can't handle a diet to begin with, but you take the diet, you figure it out, you get somebody that really knows what they're doing, and you go and pull the thing off, man. I mean, that's a big deal.
I mean, the best thing about this whole process is, I won the contest, I'm going to nationals and stuff. The best thing is that I actually, I've got a very, very good friend out of this deal. Like, Andrew and I literally will talk all day about all matters of things, which is really pretty cool to have something like that develop. Just on the basis of a diet, you know?
Hell yeah. Well, you know something? Like minds find like minds.
Exactly.
You know, it's I love just even when we do these shows with people. I mean, you know, there's people sometimes I'll talk offline with, you know, depending on what's going on. You know, I've been on the phone for a couple hours with them after the show.
Sure.
I mean, you love talking shop. You like throwing ideas at each other. You like, you know, there's, and you know, I don't care who you are. You learn from people.
Yeah.
That's what I.
And that's the good thing about that. I'm learning. Like, obviously, I have quite a strong background of the body in terms of how it operates.
Sure.
But he's a different level. Like.
Yep.
He, like, even just last night we were talking about the benefits of buying. I saw you get these, like, you know, like the coolers that pump the ice water through the cuff.
Yeah.
So, like, say
yep.
you've got, like, a knee injury and stuff like that. Like, I yep. saw, like, one of the people from the clinic was telling me that because so many people get knee surgeries and they don't know what to do with them afterwards, that they sell them very, very cheap on eBay. So I was
yep.
looking at them, like, damn, that'd be cool to have one of those. And we were talking mm-hmm. about it. And he goes, well, the nervous system, and he brought, and I've never looked into it as in the nervous system, you know.
Yep.
So, and then he's recommended me books to read. So I read one on the trip to the UK that was all about how you change your brain wiring. Basically, it was
yep.
very interesting to actually have a different insight into things now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same with training. Like he, the way he has me training is just incredible. To be totally honest, I don't know why I never thought about looking into this before.
Well, you know, I've said that with me with things too, and other people have. You know, it is, you get wrapped up in things,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you just don't see what's really right in front of you.
And I think it's like you because you have success with what you're doing,
yep.
that's
yep.
the only way you understand, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, with like this crap on my shoulder, I've had to train around it. I've had to get a lot smarter. I had to go out and find ways, you know, what can I do? What modalities to do that maybe I haven't done before? Sometimes you don't think about this in the beginning, but they are blessings in disguise.
Oh, completely, yeah.
And if you're going to be like closed-minded to stuff like this, you could be sitting there hurt or, you know, not leaned out the way you want or getting less strength. These things all are a byproduct of what's going on
mm-hmm.
with you. And
yeah.
Yeah, you know, right on the money. Before we get into some of the strongman training too, what do you got planned for this year? You got any big meets?
So I have, the next one is Nationals. Nationals is October 2nd, 3rd. The events
okay.
were just released last night. They're very different to what I was expecting, but no, it's going to be a good show. I'm really excited about getting in that. And, no.
Now, where is this, in Colorado?
The
or
Nationals
where
is going to be in Iowa. It's going to be
Iowa.
Quad Cities.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, I'm actually, like, as I said, I was surprised at how different the events are. But, you
yep.
know, you've got to give Dion Wessels, who's the president of North American Strongman, you have to give
yep.
Dion
yep.
credit for, you know, really throwing a curveball this year. I'm very, very excited to see what how it all goes down and what the training is like for it. So,
are these quicker lifts that would favor you, or what do you think?
They're different in a way. So, like, normal,
okay.
and like you'd have like a yoke walk. This year,
yeah.
we're doing like a Conan's, was like a Zerker
yep.
walk with the yoke.
Yep.
Or on day two, we have a monster dumbbell press, medleyed with a one arm deadlift, and it's you go
okay.
back and forth for as many reps as you can.
Nice.
So it's
nice.
Just different, and then. No, it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun to get out there and do something a little bit different and, you know, challenge things in a different way. And, I mean, that's the goal. The goal is to go there. The goal is to be, has this year has been to go out and win the lightweight pro card. Now,
yeah.
I said to you last time, like, obviously things at the Arnold didn't really
yep.
go how I wanted them. Some other things going on in my personal life that I wasn't too happy with and sort of detracted from my training
yep.
for that. Not to make excuses, obviously, but no, that was sort of a big sort of factor in it, in my opinion. But anyway, it's you know,
yep.
win the pro card, and you know, luckily, like, so I found one of my friends is a lightweight pro already, and I thought that America's Strongest Man for lightweight or middleweight pro, I guess is the new term for it. That was going to be August, we heard, and then it got changed to actually Halloween.
Oh,
so
okay.
Now the plan. You know, all things, you know, touch wood and all that sort of stuff, and if everything goes to plan, The plan is to go into the internationals and win that pro card in the start of October, and then go to Americas at the end of October and hopefully place quite well there so that I can actually go to Worlds in Norway in December. So that would, because it would be, that would be incredible. And if I could do that this year, I'd be a very happy man.
Yeah, because you figure October might be your time, because you ought to be nice and sharp, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A few weeks later, you're ready to go. Oh, that would be like a dream come true.
I think like the timing of it is really, really nice. So, you know, just see how the cards fall, and really, I mean, I'm working my ass off right now. The way I'm training, it's even like yesterday. No, yesterday was an off day, but yesterday we do like prowler tempos, so it's basically conditioning work, you know?
Yep.
And it's hard, and I'm sweating my ass off, and it's hard.
Yeah.
But I can see the benefit in it already.
Yeah.
So we just have, you know, we have a little hump here with the body weight. We just need to get that to stabilize a little bit, figure out what the next course of action is. We're gonna see how things go the next couple of days. And really, we're going to sit down and discuss a few options, see what we can do. And we don't want to drop kilocalories too low, because we don't want to starve me, basically.
Yeah, because then, you know, once again, your strength is going to start plummeting.
So maybe, I mean, I don't know what I know that there was talk of, pardon me, there was talk of carb cycling at one point. I don't know if that's one of the choices. We've not really spoke about it in depth right now, but you know, it's going to be very interesting. And I've got one more week of training on this first phase, and then we get into a strength phase, heavier weights. So it's going to be fun. I'm really excited for it.
Ken, do you with like stones and things of that nature? Do you work those in at a certain point, or are you always training stuff like
so
that?
So normally, because like in strongman the last few years, you know, obviously like contests back home in Scotland, and they would always have stones in them, and Colorado has stones every year, but in the on a bigger scale, there's not been that many stones. Like nationals last year didn't have stones. I know pro nationals didn't have stones. Did the Arnold have stone?
Yeah, he had some, I think. I'm trying to remember. Maybe he didn't. Usually I'm used to him when they pick the spheres up and dump them over, you know, looks like a yoke where they keep breaking.
The pro Arnold hasn't had stones for the past few years. I know that.
Okay, all right.
The amateur Arnold, they had log and power stairs was the final. So no stones in the amateur Arnold this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had stone last year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier. I mean, I like stones. Stones for me stones is very, very strongman-esque, and you know it's what defines the sport. In terms of running a competition, it is, you know, very much easier not to use stones.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
because definitely. It's like, okay, well, if you take nationals, Dion was very, very smart with nationals events last year. In terms of, okay, in the press medley, we have a keg. In the carry medley, we have a keg. In the loading medley, we have kegs. So it's like you can use, you know, one piece of equipment for three different events or as part of three different events, and it actually really, you know, cuts down on the amount of stuff. Because he's traveling from Missouri as well to, you know, last year was Nevada. Last year, Nationals was in Reno. So she's got to haul all her equipment from Missouri to Reno. You know, so it's very smart to not use stones and be able to use equipment that correlates and tests those same facets, but in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would I like to see stones back? Yeah, and I know Pro Nationals has a stone. I actually just took delivery of two stones a few weeks ago and another two last week. So I'm getting the collection going a little bit now. So we're getting there, and we'll just see how. I mean, honestly, for me, the best thing about working with Andrew is that I don't have to think. You know,
You
know, for diet, he'll send me my diet. Like when we update my macros, he'll send me it through. I'll compare it to the last ones, and then I have a sheet stuck on the fridge, and I just go through and I adjust values of you know, grams of rice or ounces of beef or number of eggs and whatever.
Yep.
You know, it just, it takes all the thought process out of it. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, how many eggs do I need today? How much mils of egg whites do I need? Okay, for this second meal, how many grams of rice? How much ounces of beef? You know, and it takes the thought process out completely to let me really just focus on training and focus on being healthy and recovering. And even with training, it's like, okay, I know roughly what we've got. I'll look at the program and I know roughly what's coming up. I get in the gym. I'm like, okay, what day is it? Okay, what do we have? Perfect. Get to work.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of stress off you like that,
exactly,
too. You're not being pulled in 50 different directions. You know, I thought of the other day when we had Andrew Carney on the show, too, because I think it's in September, him and a couple of his buddies are going to do the whole stone tour in Scotland.
Nice.
And, you know, I hope I can make it there next year. I mean, they're going everywhere, and it's like all the stuff you've read, you know, Stones and Strength with Steve Jack, all that. He's going after every one of them. That's got to be a hell of a good time. I mean, you guys got some nice stuff over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first time that we introduced Andy to, like, the test on Stones is actually, I remember it to the day because it was actually the week before my father passed away. But it was August 1st, 2009. We took a drive up to the north of Scotland, and we actually stopped in at my parents' place and, you know, had a little, like, a little rest stop there. And that was nice for me because it was like, let these guys meet my family and, you know,
sure.
You know, that sort of stuff. And then we went and lifted the Dinny Stones, and they weren't actually at Petark. They were, because it was the same day as the Boyne Highland Games, they were at the Highland Games. So we went in and lifted the stones in front of a huge big crowd.
Nice.
Then we went
man.
Up to, you know, Inver, and Andy lifted the Inver stone. Well, we all lifted the Inver stone. Andy was the one that pressed it above his head. And, you know, in my opinion, he was the fourth to press it. I know there's some other ones that have pressed it, but in my opinion, he was the fourth. There's not many who that I would call legitimate lifts, you know, or really held it there.
Yep. No, I love when he's on, like you, like I can ask questions with Scotland and we talk all about that stuff, because reading it's one thing, but when you talk to somebody that's done it, it's a whole different thing,
For sure.
It's pretty cool to listen to you guys and your stories and what you're doing and all. I mean, that's what makes the stone is so important to do. I love all that. It's the story, man. You know, you go and stop and see your mother and father, you know, and unfortunately your dad passes away a week later. You know, all these things, man, that's what lead up to all the climax of the stone, whether you make it or not. And that's what I always liked about any of this stuff. It's the story, you know, no matter what it is. Let's talk about, you know, strongman. You know, I told you about Al and young kids and stuff, and let's talk about that a little bit. I don't know, you know, I know you're in Colorado, but you're over, you know, in Scotland too, and I'm sure you see a lot. What do you think about strongman? Do you think we can get it? This is how I equate strongman as far as stones and tires and et cetera, et cetera. What I've done with him is, you know, and I tell people this, that's where they got the wrong idea. A kid's not going to, unless he's some kind of phenom, he's not going to pick up a 300-pound stone, let alone a 200 right away, all right? But thank God for sandbags and river stones and stuff, all right? Now, a great way to start them out, especially, you know, if you get hit with a sandbag, chances are you're not going to break your foot or crack a shin in half or whatever. Starting a kid out, I mean, do you think that can the advent of strongman and however you want to temper it down to be able to build the individual, do you think this is something we're going to get mainstream?
I mean, everything I see is leading to that in my belief.
Yeah.
I think we have in the last, let me think, last year especially, seen ambassadors of the sport that, you know, we've not really seen people like this before. I mean, yes, Marius was, you know, great shape, very, very impressive physique. Zydrunas, complete opposite, you know, Yep. Huge man. Yep. Physique-wise, very different.
Yep.
For me, the man that is going to take this... There's two men, in my opinion, who will take this mainstream, or as mainstream as we can say just now.
Mm-hmm.
For me, one is Eddie Hall, simply okay. because the static strength Eddie holds is unreal. And he's making it... He's opening regular people's eyes to what is the human body capable of.
Unreal, too.
No, like, when I first met Eddie, I thought he was, trying to think how to say this person, like, PC-wise. I didn't think I wasn't his biggest fan, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and let me tell you, if you're worried about PC on this show, don't worry about
okay.
it.
So I first met Eddie, UK's yeah. Strongest Man, 2011.
Okay.
And, we were head-to-head. He eventually took first, I took second. And I thought he was a dick, to be totally honest, you know? But, you know, I consider Eddie a really good friend now. You know, the more I interacted with him out with of a competition yeah. environment, you actually see the real person.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, the amped up. Because I know myself, like, I have yeah. you know, pictures and videos from when I won Scotland's Strongest Man in 2012. I was, yeah. you know, there's like an athlete area. And then there's me. And everyone else could say, oh, well, he's been a dick because he doesn't want to sit with anybody else. So right, I completely right. understand that. But Eddie has the charisma. Eddie has mm-hmm. the strength and the charisma to really bring this to another level. And he's really pushing himself in terms of yep. getting out there more,
yep.
be it for, you know, TV work or whatever. But he's really pushing yep. the envelope in that.
Cool.
I believe that if Eddie, he doesn't have weaknesses. He just has events that are not as strong as others. If that makes okay. sense, like I can't even say his moving events used to be a weakness, whereas mm-hmm. now if you correlate it to say Britain's Strongest Man, this year I believe it was this year, yeah this year, or last year whenever it was. He won every single event, I believe. And his moving events, he won the Conan's Wheel.
Yep.
You would never pick Eddie for that event, just because of mm-hmm. how it is. It's all moving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good athlete. Really mm-hmm. changed his approach now in training and is, you know, really reaping the benefits.
Yep.
If Eddie gets all his events as strong as his press and deadlift...
Oh, yeah.
He will win World's Strongest Man. I will guarantee you he will win. I mean, I'll guarantee you he's going to win it sometime in the future. I don't see how he won't. I think he'll win it.
For me,
the man that is going to really, really bring this mainstream, so to speak, Hafþór mm-hmm. Bjørnson.
I don't know. I've watched him. I think he's incredible. But is he going to be a guy? Is Brian Shaw and Zydrunas going to be the guys, or are they going to drop off and they're going to make way for this guy? I don't know. I think
Zydrunas is more of a threat than Brian.
Okay.
So
I think that's fair.
I spoke to some people after Europe's Strongest Man at the weekend.
Yep.
So I don't know if you saw the results or not, but Hafþór Bjørnson, he pulled 1,000. Well, he pulled 992.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
450 kilo deadlift.
Yep.
This is a man who just put 66 pounds on his best ever pull.
Yeah. No. It's insane.
And
I know.
I spoke to a few people, and they were saying, "Oh, well, he still has downfalls. He still has weak events."
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, he doesn't. He does not have a weak event. Heavy log, like heavy max log. Okay,
yep.
I'll give you that. He might have a weak event there. But really, apart from the Arnold, where are you going to see a log? I mean, if you have a max log at Worlds, yes, he would fall down in that. But if you have a log at Worlds for reps now, it's going to be, you know, maybe 330, maybe mm-hmm. 350 for reps.
Mm-hmm.
He can get up there high.
Mm-hmm.
Deadlift in Malaysia
oh,
for
yeah.
reps.
Yeah,
Brian beaten by one rep.
Okay.
To me, that's not a convincing win.
Okay.
Like, I think Thor is a threat.
Okay. No, I always think he's a, see, I agree with you. I think Zivikas is the guy. I mean, I'm real interested in him this year. See what's going to happen.
So,
you know, go ahead.
So I know personally that Zivikas has had issues this year.
Yeah.
Which have made him fall down a little bit.
Well, you think time's catching up with
him? No, I don't even think it's time. I think it's a case of maybe he got injured, and then because of the Arnold and Worlds being so close together, he's had to push for the Arnold and then keep pushing through for Worlds.
Yep, gotcha.
I would say that because it would correlate to his performances in May as well. His performances in Arnold Brazil and a couple of Super Series. Normally, you would never see a man like Christoph beat Zadrunas.
Yeah, I know.
And it happened. Yeah. Christoph, extremely, extremely good athlete. You know, I consider him a friend and, you know, a very good athlete. But you would not normally see Christoph peak Zadrunas. And I don't know the specific events for that contest, but that was a shock to me as well.
Yeah.
But I think if you have a healthy Zadrunas, if Zadrunas can get back on track in terms of being healthy, get his back issues fixed and other things like that, nobody can beat Zadrunas.
I agree with you. He's just, you know, we had, Andrew was talking about him, and I've had different people on because I've been asking questions of people like, you know, who's your favorite strongman? And I know that sounds very basic, but you get a lot of answers with it because it's a lot. I had Ode Hagen on here recently.
I didn't know you had Ode on. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, he had him. He was great, man. Holy God! And he was saying the same thing. You know, he loves Kazmaier, and Kazmaier's right up there. But Zadrunas, he said, you know, he's competed against him. He said he's like nobody you ever met. And I said the thing I always liked about Zadrunas was he reminded me more of like just some big dude you'd see like digging friggin' holes around a pipe in.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like a blue collar guy that would, you know, be pulling the big welding machine off the truck.
Oh, yeah.
Shit like that,
yeah.
Right? That's what I always admired about him. And he's quiet, man. You know, you don't hear him out quacking about anything.
No.
I like people that are kind of like, they get their job done quietly. And it's all right. Hey, you want to jump up in the air? I'm great. I'm okay with that after the thing. But I like his mannerisms, man. And I think most of those guys there, because Ode was saying to me, you know, the majority of those guys are really nice guys, man. They're like everybody else. You know, they've got to get up and live life, too. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I love watching them. And, you know, Kazmaier, being from the United States, obviously, is a guy that I've always looked up to. But I've always admired Zivikas. And, I like Brian Shaw and all those people, too, man. But there's just some different people that kind of resonate more with you.
Yeah,
you know?
For me, going back to your who's your favorite strongman, it changes with the era as well. Like, if you'd asked me who's my favorite strongman from when I was a kid, hands down, it's Sven Carlson.
Oh, he was badass,
I'm lucky, and this is coming back to, you know, what strongman's given me. Strongman has given me the opportunity, and people in the sport have given me the opportunity to meet people I didn't think I was going to meet, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Gregor Edmonds, who is the head equipment manager. He's the equipment manager for World's Strongest Man.
Yeah.
I first met Gregor at the Arnold. It would be 2000. I think I met him 2010 and said hello, sort of thing, just because he was from Scotland and I knew who he was. 2011, I said hello again, and then we were on the same flight back from Columbus to Newark and then Newark to Glasgow.
Yep.
So we had a bite to eat in Newark, and he asked me if I wanted to go out and, you know, be a tester and for World's Strongest Man.
Oh, cool.
And then from that, you know, I met Sven. I met Ode. I actually met Sven my first Arnold, 2010.
Okay.
And then I've met Sven a number of times. It's great to have those interactions. I met Ode at the same time as Sven. And then I met Ode again at World's Master's Strongest Man in 2011 before I flew out to Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered, and this is the part of Strongman which will really stay with me the whole of my life, to be honest. No, here's me. How old would I have been? I'd have been 23. 23 okay. UK's Strongest Man, 2011. Yep. And obviously, at 23, you're still sort of impressionable, all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
And Ode, who's a guy you've watched on TV for quite some time, through Strongman, and you know who this guy is, he's no big deal in Strongman. He comes up to me, he's like, hey, how are you? I didn't even say anything to him. He remembered who I was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I saw him again in 2013 at Worlds. He came up to me and was talking to me. You know, 2014. Same, oh, not 2013. 2013 was China, so he wasn't there. 2014, he remembered me. But the Arnold, he comes up and says hi and stuff. If we pass, and he's since, and it's really incredible to actually have these experiences.
Yeah.
With people like Europe's Strongest Man, 2012. I mean, I was maybe 270, 280.
Yeah.
And I qualified for Europe's Strongest Man, and I go and. No, you've got. This is the first time I've met Krzysztof Radzikowski ever, and I sit down. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "You're competing?" Like I'm like, "Wow, thank you." You know, sort of, like he's like sort of blown away.
Yeah.
And then that night I'm sitting next to it's literally I've got Krzysztof across from me, then Lalas across like diagonal, and then Zdrunas is sitting next to me.
Nice.
You know, and I'm like, this is surreal. This is just what the hell is this? You know. And then the Arnold a couple of years ago or last year. Just walking through, or 2 years ago it would be now, walking through the aisles, bump into Krzysztof, and he's, hey, how are you, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
And that, for me, that's what Strongman is. Strongman is the whole brotherhood of it, you know?
Yeah. It's an experience. Yes. I mean, people get the ability, you know, and, you know, I'm looking at it from the outside with these guys, you know, and it's like, it's pretty interesting to see what's going on, how people interact, because, hey, look, everybody wants to win, man. There's no doubt about
it.
Exactly.
If you don't want to win, then there's no point.
Right. There's nobody there wants to be second place. So there is an amount of, you know, people are, you know, you're looking everybody over. You want to go and you want to beat the living shit out of them. And but hopefully at the end of the day, you still can be friends, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes that doesn't always work. It might take decades before you are, but. You know, when you listen to guys like you and Ode and the other guys we've had on here, like we got Jerry Pritchett coming on here.
That'll be awesome. Jerry's a good guy.
He's going to be on next month. And, you know, like, I don't know if I told you, Bill Crawford, who's on here, who I think is one of the greatest stone lifters around. And he has that big Highland Games in New Hampshire in September.
Yep.
And if I can get up there, I'm going to do it. I don't know yet. But if not, we're going to try to work a thing because it looks like Thor and Magnus for Magnuson are going there for sure.
Nice.
So we're gonna get them on a show, we hope.
That would be good. I mean, Thor and Magnus I first met Magnus. It would be the same time as Odin Sven. It was the 2010 Arnold. And then when I'm working at World's Strongest Man in 2011, I have Magnus looking over my shoulder as I'm harnessing up Thor or harnessing up Stefan Solvi Peterson for truck pool. And he's teaching me how to put the harness on as well. Because and he's not letting anybody else hear, but he's teaching me, like, okay, you want it tight here and loose there, and this is why. Yep. And I'm like, holy crap, this I've got, Magnuson's talking to me, and it's cool, you know, it's because I'm like a fanboy, but it's cool.
No, it is, and it's like Steffi, when I went and did the Stone Challenge in 2008, he was part of that.
Yes, and, I saw in the pictures,
He was a real good guy. Do you know what happened to him? I mean, he's disappeared.
He had some health stuff. I know he had some congenital stuff going on. But I know he's trying to make a comeback, at least. I know that.
I figured there was it had to be health issues because the last 2-3 years, I mean, he's been silent.
Yeah.
And anything you see of him is all older shots when he was a lot heavier and bigger.
Yeah, he had some stuff going on. I won't get into it, but like I know.
No, I know. I don't want you.
But I know. I'm sure he. Was it Stefan that posted? I think it was Stefan that posted a picture after Iceland's Strongest Man. I'm sure it was. Excuse me. I'm sure it was Stefan, and he was like, just another one, something else to overcome, and he torn his hamstring. Iceland's.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was what I saw a couple of weeks ago.
We were talking, you know, an eight, obviously, and, you know, most of the guys there had blown biceps, so I got my first prize, and so did Bill Crawford, too.
Yeah.
And I remember Steffi telling me, it's like, I don't think it was a WSM, but it was something involved in Scotland, a strongman. But they were flipping the tire, and I think he said it was about 850, and it had a big, huge, obviously, rim it was wrapped around. And he said the same thing, flip, flip, flip. He said all you heard was this big pop. And his, though, came right off the bone.
See, mine came off the bone, but I never heard a pop when I did my arm, my bicep. All I felt when I did my bicep was like a slide up my arm. It was really odd.
You know what I felt? It felt to me when I did mine, it felt like a paper cut. That's what it sounded like. It went like that.
See, I think I had headphones in when I did mine, too, so that's probably why I never heard it.
Well, you know, the thing was, now when Bill Crawford blew his, we heard a pop when his went.
See, people tell me when Andrew did his knees that they heard that go.
Yeah.
I never heard that one.
Wolf. I mean, can you imagine that? Both of your patella base?
Yeah.
Blowing right off. I mean, that, you know, we got into that in the show, and, you know, they're telling him he's never going to walk or he'll have to have a cane. I mean, that's what I put on the opening with it. I said, you want to hear something inspiring, listen to this guy's story, because how many of these guys have been just counted out for dead?
Oh, God,
and it's like, yeah, and everybody's so quick to pull the hammer on you. It's like, hey, you know what, man? If they got to this point, if they wanted, they're going to come back to this point unless there's no way they can do it, because there's nobody standing here listening to this show, you and I both included, that are ever going to take it on the chin like that. You know, it's not in our DNA to live like that.
Did Andrew enlighten you to any of the stories from the journey back?
No.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Think so.
There's, like, he and I could talk for a day about that. There was a...
No, what we ought to do sometimes, seriously. I'd like to get the two of you on with me.
That'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be really good.
When we get off the air, we'll talk a little bit about that, and I'm going to, because I know he's got stuff coming up, maybe towards fall when we can get you after the two shows before, if you're going to qualify for the end of the year, maybe like November or something, we could get you both in here, and I mean, we can get you singly in here, obviously, before then, but that'd be a lot of fun,
man. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Shit, we'd have a ball. I get, you know, we're getting near the end anyways. What are you seeing? I mean, you know, Eddie Hall obviously is a big player in Thor. And if these guys could get – well, I know what I want to ask you. This has been – I've asked this to everybody that's involved in this type of sport, whether you're at your level, WSM, or where I am, you know, just like to lift stones and go place. How much bigger do you think these athletes can get? I mean, are we going to get to a point where we're going to reach, that's it? I mean, you know, everybody will say, well, it's all diet now, blah, 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 blah. There's other shit going on I'm not going to even get into, and I can't say that for anybody or everybody. How much bigger we're talking? I mean, you know, when you're approaching 6'7", 6'8", and we're in the 430 range, where is it going to come to a point, or is it, where someone's going to have to say, it's not going to work anymore, these guys are going to be dropping like flies?
I think it's going to depend on the contest type. That's what what it comes down to.
Okay.
If you look at the Arnold, you want to be as big as you possibly can be.
Okay.
Whereas World's Strongest Man, it's a little bit more mobility-wise. You know, there's more mobility base in it.
Yeah.
So you'd want to be a little bit lighter. In terms of size, I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, there's a point where you get to a size where you have diminishing returns.
Exactly.
But just based upon the event selection, you know, if you had, you know, heavier events and you're bigger, then you're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I didn't think Eddie could get much bigger, and then he sort of did. I mean, I think Ed at the Arnold, maybe 380, I think.
He's that big, huh?
Ed is big.
How tall is he?
I believe Eddie, 6'3", 6'4". I don't know if it's 6'2", 6'4", or 6'3". It's in that range somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it's like 6'3", 6'4".
380, that is monster,
he's,
man.
He's, like, unreal. Like, when Ed and I first met, he was big, and then...
Yeah.
No, he's really big now. Very big.
Where were you at your heaviest point? Had you made 300 mark?
Heaviest was 310.
You're at 310.
And I wasn't competitive. And if I had, when I was 310, I was about maybe 8-9 months out from my father passing away. And when he passed away, strongman became like the, what's the word? Like the way to cope, you know, the coping mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was
yeah.
a case of, I need to be bigger for strongman. And I wasn't smart. I mean, I was 21 years old. And the funny thing is I had gone through this process before. No, I hadn't actually. I hadn't gone through this process. When I went from like amateur to a higher level in Scotland, I gained weight. I gained like 50 pounds in 3 months, and it was bad. It wasn't good weight. And then I came back down a little bit, but then I gained more. And at 310, I wasn't competitive. And it wasn't that, I mean, it was just my composition was poor, very poor.
Yeah.
So I dieted, and I maintained, let me think, I came down a little bit, I believe. Yeah, I came down a little bit in 2010. Yeah, because I competed at the UK Strongest Man around 300 in August 2010. And then I was like, I have to get leaner. This is not working for me. I can't move.
Yeah.
And I actually dropped 50 pounds over the course of 8 months, and I got stronger with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So then for, when I won Scotland's and everything like that, I was a lighter body weight.
Yeah.
And it was more beneficial.
Yeah.
But in terms of getting, like, and it depends on a certain person. And, but it also depends on their mental opinion of it too.
Sure.
You have some guys who are, very tall and very big, who, in my opinion, would, if they dropped a little bit of weight, they could, if they did it smart, maintain their absolute strength, but then gain some mobility. Or even, or hell, even changing your training. You could still be 6'8", 4'30", but you could change your training substantially to allow a better strength development through different facets of strength.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Before we go, you want to add anything else? And all we want to do is I want to give out any website, anything you're doing. I'll give my stuff, and then just hang on the line. I'd appreciate it, please.
I'm actually going to be starting a KN Strongman blog, so like a video blog type thing. I'm actually about to go and film the first one probably right now. I'm training in about 30-odd minutes, so I might film another little 8-minute video here. Just and it's really just based upon like what I'm doing, my training, and then the motivation of why like the topic of the first one I was going to do was about motivation.
Yeah.
And I actually, I've seen a lot of people recently have been commenting on my videos on Instagram, or one of the people that I coach, she put a post out, like a blog out last night that, really just said like how I've helped her. So I've actually changed my decision, and it's not going to be motivation as such. It's going to be more how people, me inspiring people, then inspires me. So that, and then if people have, what I want to get into is almost try and get into like a Q&A type thing. Where people are going to put out, email me or comment on stuff and say, well, could you answer this question for me and all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So that's one thing that's going to be coming out. My Facebook is just, if you just go on there, it's like facebook.com/KN Strongman. For my social media, everything is KN Strongman. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it's all KN Strongman. So
if we can do anything for you, you want to put anything on here, you're welcome.
Awesome, that'd be cool.
Okay.
Just that, and I'm very lucky with the sponsors I've got to keep me going for this. I've got a number of them now. I just want to thank Teamwork Therapy out in Colorado. They keep me healthy. I've got Metrex are helping me out. Play Again Now with the joint care supplement. They help me out.
Yep.
Reband, Cerberus Strength back in the UK. CrossFit Surge here in North Glen, Colorado. That's where I train right now. I train by myself in there. And I couldn't be happier, to be honest.
That's cool, man.
I'm very lucky with the people I've got supporting me on this next leg of the journey anyway. But
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's who you surround yourself with that's going to make you or break you. That's the day. That's it.
I completely agree.
What else you got, brother?
Not much, man. Just keep on training, right, and then check me out.
All right. So we'll give you ours, and then I'll talk to you offline. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Juan's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Sorenex, sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Hearts Collision, Lori and Alex, give them a call at 518-477-7937 or go out to heartscollision.com. Also, go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com, click on sponsorship, come on aboard with us. For $300 a month, we'll promote your product or service. We're doing 7 to 12 pods a week, and right now we have way over 60,000 listeners. If you need a banner or anything like that created, Chris can do all that for you. Obviously, that's another charge. But come on aboard. We want to work with you for 25 years at least. And, you know, make money for both of us and have a good time in the process. Also, go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. and download the free 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Like I said, no gloss, no pictures, just paragraphs to make you think and hopefully open your eyes and go out and do some great big things for yourself. Also, check out the Winner Circle, 12 modules. It gives you everything from start to finish. And like Ken was just talking about, you know, Q&A, well, we've got a couple ideas the way we're going to develop that product and obviously how we want to bring a lot of people into it. And as I always say, we are going to have a million listeners to this show, so get ready. And last but not least, thanks to Chris Bigelow that works all the magic here. MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We're on Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter, at Fiorello Eric. If you want to get a hold of me or you'd like Ken and I to do a show, something, a subject you'd like, get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. As I always say, if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or in the gym, give them a little time. Show them what your inner strength is. You know, we all know your outer. Do something like that. I think you're going to have a lot more satisfaction, too. Secondly, as my mom always said when we were kids, don't be afraid to say hello to somebody or just give them a smile. That might be the only contact that person has with anybody that day. And last but not least, go out tonight. That's what you just heard Ken. He's going to go do it. I'm going to do it in a couple hours. Go out and lift some big hunks of iron and take some stones and turn them into dust. And most of all, motivation is world domination. Remember that. Ken, thanks for being on the show, my friend.
Thank you.
Anytime. That was a good time, as usual. All right. For Ken Nowicki, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. We're going to have Ken on again soon, I'm sure. So, you know, listen up, and thanks for everything. We love you listening to the show, and tell a friend.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.